So this summer we've been in a series called Songs That Last, Finding Our Voice in the Psalms. These songs capture a wide gamut of human emotion and human experience. So far we've looked at Psalm 96, a song of praise, Psalm 23, a psalm of comfort, Psalm 1, a song of wisdom, Psalm 121, a song of protection, Psalm 73, a song of doubts. And now, this morning, we have another familiar psalm, a song of wonder. So let's read Psalm 139 this morning. If you don't have a Bible, there are a few Bibles in front of you. This text has been our call to worship. It's been sung by the choir. Thank you, choir. It's been talked about in the children's sermon, and now we come to the whole psalm here this morning. Let's read. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you reveal this text to us in a fresh way, that your person and your work would be personable to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Heard someone say that Psalm 139 is so well known because we so desire to be well known. It's an interesting theory. I think there's some truth to that. Psalm 139 is so well known because we so desire to be well known. I had the distinguished privilege this past week of having lunch with a David Wilburn sitting over here. He picked the restaurant. If you're curious, it was El Cancun in Rock Hill. Typical college student, Cancun. We had lunch, and he was telling me about this restaurant that he and his family have been going to forever. And the beauty of this restaurant, of course, is that they know him. They know his family. they know his name, or at least call him some sweet name like Babe or something. I don't know, if I forget what they called you. They know his family. They know what he likes to eat and what he likes to drink. And there's more than just a polite smile at this restaurant for the Wilburn family. It's a personal smile, a smile with substance, an experience of relationship versus just simply a business transaction. Isn't it so nice to be known? Especially at a restaurant where they don't have to learn your name in order to serve you. Just watch an episode of Cheers and listen to the theme song. It goes like this: making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? And the chorus, where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Isn't that what Redeeming Grace is trying to be as well? That's one of the appeals of Karen and I moving to a church that is smaller than the one we came from, where everybody knows your name. What a great experience to be known, well known. And we hope this is the case at Redeeming Grace. But the opposite is certainly true as well, isn't it? A sad reality to feel forgotten. Isn't it easy to feel forgotten? To feel alone in a crowd of people? Or feel awkward to the point that we are okay being alone, only to realize that we're not okay being alone? Or in the relationships that we do have, we feel misunderstood and thus alone? Or maybe it's a struggle with a sin or a physical illness, or you're mourning a death and you just feel so alone in it all. Maybe it's a financial struggle, just the stress of everyday life is getting to you and nobody sees how you're really doing. And at times we even feel hidden from God, out of his sight, out of his mind. So here's my attempt to summarize Psalm 139's main truth and exhortation to us. Remember, God has not forgotten you. How could he? Remember, God has not forgotten you. How could he? David, from the start, so a Psalm of David, from the start in verse 1, tells us who our God is. O Lord, and remember, O Lord, O Yahweh is what's here. Yahweh. O the one who is a close, personal, relational, present help. A faithful, covenant-keeping God for sinners who have a name. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. And so what do we specifically need to remember in order to realize who our God is? First, you need to remember the wonder that God really knows you. Second, you need to remember the wonder that God perfectly sees you. And third, you need to remember the wickedness that God really knows and perfectly sees. So let's look at that first point. You need to remember the wonder that God really knows you. Look at verses 1 through 6 again. O Lord, Yahweh, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Yahweh has known me, verse 1, and searched me. past tense, while the rest of that section is present tense. Verse 1, you have known me and searched me. And it goes on, you know when I sit and when I rise. You know this, you know that. Why the change? I think it has to do with verse 1 really communicating the comprehensiveness and the totality of God's knowledge of you. He knows everything from the beginning in your mother's womb to every single day of your life until the tomb and beyond. We sometimes say the expression hindsight is 20/20, isn't it? Where we look back and we're like, well, yeah, of course I know now, but I didn't then, but now I have perfect knowledge, or at least comprehensive knowledge. And that's with God. God is looking back at your life. He's looking forward at your life. He knows it all, and He can speak in the past tense. I have known you and searched you. And in verse 2 through 5, He goes into specifics of His comprehensive, personal knowledge of you. Verse 2, you know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. So Yahweh knows when I rise. He knows my sleep schedule. He knows the mundane of my life when I go to bed. He knows all of my thoughts. Verse 3, you search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Yahweh knows all of my activities and how I am doing at them and feeling about them. Not just a list, oh, they're involved in this, this, and this, and this. No. The depths, the thoughts, the feelings that go into those activities. Verse 4, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Yahweh knows me better than I know me. It's perfectly comprehensive. And in verse 5, you hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. So the all-knowing, incomprehensible God is near, gentle, loving, and sustaining. And isn't that the conclusion of verse 6 that David comes to? The incomprehensibility of God, that God is beyond our understanding, our ability to comprehend Him. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. A conclusion and response of wonder. You see the word wonderful at least 3 times in this passage. He's constantly reminded as he recounts and remembers that God really knows you personally, the wonder of it. And so first, we must remember the wonder that God really knows us. In verse 6, even after describing specifics of God's comprehensive knowledge, he also at the same time realizes that he can't even begin to grasp the width and the depth of God's personal knowledge. Our knowledge of God is incomprehensible. His knowledge of us is comprehensive. I watched a video this past week called Known by Caleb Martin. You can watch it on YouTube. It's well done. I'd recommend it to you. And the video is about Psalm 139, that you are known. He says that if you made a line with everyone in the world, it would stretch around the world 18 times. And then continue and go to the moon back and forth twice. Said in the video, if there was a roll call of everyone's name in the world, one name spoken every second, all day long and all night long without stopping, it would take over 200 years to hear everyone's name read. Simply the name read. Wow. And so when we're reading verses 1 through 6, how can we not, in verse 6, say, God, your personal knowledge of me, your perfect knowledge of me, that you know me better than I know me. How can we not be in wonder? Awestruck. So you need to remember the wonder that God really knows you. Secondly, you need to remember the wonder that God perfectly sees you. Verses 7 through 18. Read there. Look at that with me. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. So remember the wonder that God perfectly sees you. Verse 7. Fleeing from God, as we see in verse 7, is hopeless and foolish. Just see the book of Jonah. And yet, we all try to do it in our own way. Whether we are ashamed of our sin and want to take cover from the holiness of God, or we're trying to avert our responsibilities, our growth as a Christian. In verse 7, where shall I go from your spirit? And now we know, living in the New Testament side of things, that we have the Spirit. That it's not that God is, as a believer, is outside of us following it. No, he lives within us. So of course there's nowhere we can go to avoid his presence. He resides within. Yahweh perfectly sees you, and he perfectly sees how to help you. You can't escape his gaze or his presence. You aren't forgotten. You aren't unnoticed by God. He saw you before you were anything. Literally, anything. He saw you as he hand-stitched you into being. He sees you up close and personal. He holds you. How much closer can you get? He sees where you need to go. Not just where you are, but where you need to go. He leads you, the text says. He sees you in all of your days, from before the womb, to the tomb. He sees you, his handiwork, his plan. He's not taking his eye off of you. And only a God who never slumbers nor sleeps can do that. See Psalm 121, which we've spoken about. There's no hiding place from him. Yahweh is close. Yahweh is there always, no matter where you are right now in your life. So remember, God has not forgotten you. How could he? Yahweh. God has not forgotten you. Well, how come? Is it because you are inherently valuable Or is it because God is supremely incredible? And the answer, of course, is yes. That's why you're not forgotten. You are inherently valuable. Verses 13 onward. Not self-made value, of course, but God-given value within you. It is a part of you. You can never get rid of it. There is a value that you can never ultimately kill or tarnish. God-given inherent value. And yes, God has not forgotten you is a testimony to God's incredibleness. So praise Yahweh, for He made you, knows you, and leads you in the way everlasting. Look at verse 18. If I would count them, the thoughts of God, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. So verse 18, wake up to the sight that God is still with you. Wouldn't that be amazing if that was our first thought waking up in the morning? Wow, God is still with me. Which is an incredible reality, especially when you consider our third point. So not only do you need to remember the wonder that God really knows you, and not only do you need to remember the wonder that God perfectly sees you, but third, you need to remember the wickedness that God really knows and perfectly sees. Verse 19 and onward. Look there with me. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So this is the part of the psalm, especially verses 19 through 22, that if we've heard Psalm 139 a lot, this is the part where we don't hear a lot. This is the part where I have to be honest here. Going into a hospital room this past week and reading Psalm 139, I left this part out in one of my readings to the person, because it's just such a left turn all of a sudden. It feels just like, oh, what a sweet truth that God knows me. Oh wait, slay the wicked and hate them forever? It's like, whoa, what just happened? It's jolting. It's not as sweet sounding as Psalm 139 is to us. It gets left out. And I think it makes all the sense in the world in the context of the psalm. Even though it feels jolting to us, if God really does know and He really does perfectly see, well, then He sees and He knows all of the wickedness. And we need to remember the wickedness of our evil. We don't need to shrug off evil. We need to hate it, every bit of it. So don't trivialize evil, but maximize your hatred for it, both around you and within you. Isn't that where the psalm goes? First without, then within. Remember the wonder of God's precious name. Holy, holy, holy is He. Honor His holy name in every way. And so the psalmist is seeing how his name is being profaned. God, the one who perfectly knows me and is with me and He sees me, His name is being insulted. His name is being rebelled against. And of course, we as God's people need to love what He loves and hate what He hates. And He hates evil. And so should we. The evil without and the evil within. So the statement, God has not forgotten you, how could He, is a statement of comfort and joy. But isn't it also a statement of fear and worry? God hasn't forgotten about you. So you just say it differently. It means a whole different thing, right? God, here's the good. God knows your name. When you rise up, when you lay down, He knows your thoughts from afar. That is a beautiful truth. But here's the bad. God knows exactly how you have kept or not kept His laws, which are summarized with, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all of it, all of your mind, all of your strength, all of your soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So yes, He knows your name, and He also knows your rap sheet. When you did that, when you didn't do this. He knows your thoughts from afar, which is beautiful and terrifying. That video I mentioned by Caleb Martin called Known, based on Psalm 139, there was a lot of good to it, but it wasn't all good. It was incomplete. So the line of humanity stretching around the world 18 times and the moon back and forth twice, or calling everyone's name, would take over 200 years. I think there's some good to that, to realize that the wonder that God really knows you. And the conclusion of the video is God really knows you and He loves you. It's just incomplete. Because the video, and what we often like to do, is skip verses 19 through 24. Yes, there is comfort and relief into God knowing us, but there's also fear and worry. Because God knows the wickedness in your own heart, in your own mind. He knows it. He sees it perfectly. And so the video was good, it's just incomplete. It doesn't deal with evil like Psalm 139 does. Because He really does know you, and He really does know me. And so, of course, it makes the love of God all that more amazing. Because if you skip the evil part, and He just says, He knows when you got up this morning, He knows when you go to bed, He knows what you're thinking, He loves you. That is amazing, but that's not nearly the amazingness of the gospel. The gospel is, He knows you, you are not what you were supposed to be. You have failed miserably, I have failed miserably, and yet He loves you enough to die for you anyways, despite you. That's the gospel. And that makes the love of God even more incomprehensible. The width, the depth, the length of it. We cannot grasp the wickedness within and thus the love to us through Jesus. Going back to that great experience of a restaurant knowing your name. We look at a restaurant like Chick-fil-A, which is known for its customer service. And yet, we don't walk in and expect to have the staff say, "Welcome, Khan family. We're so glad you're here, Karen. How's the pregnancy going? Devin, are you doing okay as a father? I know yesterday you didn't really feel like being a good father or a loving father. How's it going today?" You don't get that. We don't expect that. Why? Or why don't they just say our name when we walk in the door? Because they serve so many people. I wonder if we consciously or subconsciously apply the same thinking with our relationship with God. He serves so many people. He doesn't really have to know my name, my heart, my doubts, my desires. He doesn't have to. He serves so many people. And you're right, He doesn't have to, but He wants to. That's the beauty. I wonder if we see God more like the really busy doctor that sees many patients. That we go see our God in prayer when we're struggling with some trial, and the doctor comes in the room and says, "Hello, Devin, I see you have these struggles. Let me offer you some help. And then 5 minutes later, he's gone off to serve other patients who desperately need him. And so when we sing a great song like Jesus, What a Friend for Sinners, which we sang earlier, that first verse, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Now my question to you is that a general friend or a close present friend? Or the second verse, Jesus, what a strength in weakness. Is that a general strength in weakness or a close present strength? Or the third verse, Jesus, what a help in sorrow. Is that a common help or a specific personal and relational help? I think the first verse of another hymn, Before the Throne of God Above, takes the truths of Psalm 139 with God's plan of redemption in mind. It was like this, Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. So you sing that hymn, and then you go into verse 2. And how does it start? Satan tempts me to despair. Well, in verse 1, I've already remembered the wonder that God really knows me, and he perfectly sees me. And so now in verse 2, I have hope, and I have strength for today to face my trials. We're about to sing another hymn. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. One of the verses goes like this. How he watches over his loved ones, died to call them all his own. How for them he intercedeth, watcheth over them from the throne. So remember, God has not forgotten you. How could he? For his name is Yahweh, a close, personal, relational, present help. A faithful, covenant-keeping God for sinners like you and me that have a name. My name is graven on his hand. My name is written on his heart. So remember the wonder that God really knows you. And remember the wonder that God perfectly sees you. And also remember the wickedness that God really knows and perfectly sees, and what he did and is doing to eradicate it, both without and within. Let's pray. O Lord, you know us. You know our attempts, our sad attempts at times, of living for you and pleasing your name, of loving you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know us, Lord. You know our motivations. You know when our heart is not in it. You know when our thoughts completely contradict our actions. So God, with the personal, relational knowledge of you, come and pierce our hearts to a point that we say, praise Yahweh, for we are wonderfully and fearfully made. How wonderful are your works, God. My soul knows it very well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand if you can, and let us